Jesus, we love you. We thank you for the opportunity we have to worship together today. It's a joy and a privilege to be together in your presence, to know that the Lord is here and his Spirit is with us. To be able to commune with you and with one another, and to know that in your presence and by your hand, we are together in a very deep way. In a way that goes beyond what we could do in our own human strength or desire for relationship and community. And so to be together today in this beautiful spot, to take in creation and to recognize that the God of creation is here with us. We believe and trust that you have something for us today. And so, Lord, we now turn our hearts and our minds, our very lives. We come to you with our past, and especially with the last few months, this last year and a half. And we bring it today into this place in your presence. Pray you would speak the things that you would want to speak to our hearts in light of what we've walked this past season. We bring to you our future and a very different fall. And ask that as we come to your word again, Jesus, that you would speak to our lives. The sovereign God would have our ear, and that we would be present to you here as we open the word together. Lord, we love you. Just rest in your presence together. In your name we pray. Amen. You can find a seat. I'm going to find a seat as well. I had a hip replacement last Friday, which is kind of mind-blowing to me because I don't look or feel like I had a hip replacement last Friday. I'm motoring around. It's pretty amazing. I'm very thankful to the Lord. It feels like part of it is I'm young and I'm healthy, but the biggest part has felt like just what God's been doing in answer to prayers as people are praying. It's quite something to be experiencing, up and moving around. That said, my good wife is here with me as well, and she said, would you like me to set up your chair? And it wasn't as much a question as a very wise advice. So I'm going to sit too, so that my leg doesn't give out halfway through preaching. Good to be together today. It has been quite a crazy year and a half, and it's amazing to be here, actually. I was thinking even out here at Stillwood with you guys after last summer. What a different summer that was. And to be in this season here at Stillwood, but in all of our lives, maybe you're at work or you think about school or you think about different dynamics for you and your family, to think we're in a very different place as we look at today and moving forward now than we would have been if we'd been here together. Well, we wouldn't have been here together last summer, right? And we've walked through this really incredible year. And one of the things that came up in the midst of that year was a phrase that got written on poster boards and put in people's windows, and it almost became as normal as hello or how are you. And it was this phrase that got thrown around a lot: we're in this together. Did you hear that? I heard it over and over. And I remember one time having a good friend who comes to our church. She's not with us today. I wish she was, because we would laugh together. I remember when Anne said to me, if I hear that one more time, I'm going to throw something. Because it was this really interesting thing where it was like, we're all in this together, but we were literally not allowed to be together. And so it was kind of this idea that, yes, in a way we're all in it together and that we're all going through it. But there, part of what this year has been hard is that we've not been able to physically be together. And that's played a toll, and we felt not only the loss of that and what it feels like to not be able to do that, but we also, I think, at the same time are feeling how much we need that. How important that is to our lives. How important that is to what it is to be human beings, men and women, families, co-workers, organizations, churches, right? And so in a way, it's been a gift. A very costly one, and one that's been hard to come to. But I want to lean into it today because we're coming back together, right? I want to read for you from the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 42. Right after the Acts chapter 2, the Pentecost and the birthing of God's church, the beginning of the church, Peter teaches this incredible sermon, and at the end of it, 3,000 people come to faith in Jesus. And it's the beginning of, you talk about an evangelism explosion. We've used that kind of language recently. This was the real deal. People coming to faith in Jesus by the hundreds, by the thousands. And so there's all these people coming. And so the church is being birthed, but it is very infantile. It's very new. No one knows what this looks like or how we do this. And so what we see here in starting verse 42 is the church in a really real and just organic way. This is what it looked like when having received the Holy Spirit and been birthed as a church. This is what the church just naturally looked like. Hear this. It's incredible to me. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship. That word fellowship is the Greek word koinonia. It's what we've been talking about in the real deal. We are in this together. It's a communion, a united people. So they see themselves as one. They committed themselves to the breaking of bread and to the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done among the apostles. And all who were believed, they were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and their belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. That's an incredible picture. A church, the words common, together, all things in common. People literally, without any sort of instruction, thinking, you know what I need to do? I have much. My brother has little. Why don't I sell the extra and take care of my brother? A natural response of the togetherness, the oneness. Why were they doing that? Because they were one. Their brother's need had suddenly become, in some way, their need. Their extra had suddenly not become their extra. It had become the communal extra. This group of people had come into relationship with Jesus, but when they did, they came into relationship with one another in a new and incredible way. This continues throughout the New Testament. And when you read the letters that Paul's writing to churches, you'll pick this up, because this group of people very quickly start coming under all kinds of hardship, persecution. People are losing their lives for this faith very quickly after this. The reality of what it is to be a people takes on a whole new shape in the midst of hardship. And I don't know about you, but for me throughout COVID, even though we had to get creative with Zoom and different ways, we did everything we could to stay as connected as we possibly could. Because not only because I needed you, but because we are one. It just didn't work to be apart. So we were like, well, what does together look like? And we figured it out. But I am so excited to be actually embodied again. Just even to be sitting here together today. Isn't it great? In 1 Corinthians 12, Paul talks about the church using a metaphor that you've probably heard before if you've been to church, you've read the Bible. But in light of this, I think it really stands out to me in a fresh way. He says the church is like a body, make of many parts, hands and feet, eyes and ears, noses. It's all these different parts that come together, but it's one body. There's a beautiful diversity, and as I look out across, like, who's here today, I see such a beautiful diversity. I'm sure if we all could get to, even some we don't know you, if we could sit down and get to know each other, we'd realize we probably have some things in common. But we'd also realize, oh, we have some real differences because of the life we've lived, and there's this diversity. We come and we bring who we are and the uniqueness of who we are to the table, but we are better when we do that and we embrace each other's diversity and suddenly become this unity, this oneness. That doesn't scrub who Chad is, but actually in many ways makes Chad better, right? Paul says, we're one body. And this analogy of the body is a simple one, but in that chapter 12, when he talks about the church that way, the verse I want to look at and really leave you with today is this. In 1 Corinthians 12, verse 26, Paul says, because in this, using this analogy of the body, if one member suffers, all suffer together. And if one member is honored, all rejoice together. Paul takes this idea of togetherness, of community, of oneness, and he pushes it way beyond our comfort zone. He says, listen, it's one thing to be together when everything's great. But when hard times come, when someone or even a large group are not doing well, we all enter into that place with them. We stand together. Why? Because we are one body. It's a powerful thing. And so as we come out of COVID, each of us have some ailments. Each of us come out of this last year and a half, and it's not just COVID. A lot of life happened in the season of COVID, right? People continued to wrestle and struggle with their mental health, some in an extreme way, in an increasing way. Some of you lost people in this last year and a half. Some of us have wrestled through physical ailment. You know, some of us have lost jobs. Finances have been a challenge. Some of you I've talked to, especially parents, you'll resonate with this. You've got your kids. Some of you went through a year with big chunks where your kids were locked in the house with you for days on end. And you loved it, and it challenged you. Because you thought, wow, I love these kids, but this is a lot, you know, right? Like, it's been an interesting year, and it's pushed, and we come out of a year like that with maybe a bit of a limp. And there, I had hip surgery on Friday, and when I came out of my hip surgery, I went to sleep, and when I woke up, they had literally taken out my hip and put a titanium one in. And I kind of came out of my groggy state, and I was in a hospital bed, and the nurse said, do you want to stand up? And I said, yes. And thought, see how this goes. And I stood up. She helped me. But I stood up out of that bed, and I stood. This is my bad leg. I stood. And I thought, wow. I'm standing on my hip. And I don't feel pain in my hip. I felt pain in my muscles. But I didn't feel pain in my bone, in my joint, that I felt for a year. I thought, this is incredible. They started to talk to me about what recovery needed to look like. Lots of things I've got to be very careful about, the way that I move and different things. And so they're kind of telling me all this. And what I started to figure out was, if I was going to get in and out of bed, for example, my bad leg was really, really happy for my good leg all of a sudden. My weak leg needed my strong leg. So I would lay in bed, and I can't move this. They don't want me to move this leg this way. And I, for the first few days, I couldn't lift it on its own. And so I would take my right foot, and I would slip it underneath my leg, and I would lift it in the air and swing it out over the bed. All of a sudden, my strong leg was making life possible, even though I had a very weak leg. And I laid in bed one morning, and I had this sort of funny moment. Jana was still sleeping, and I was just laying there. And I kind of brought my right leg over to my left leg. And I felt like they had a moment. Oh, hello. There was a love and an intimacy between my weak leg and my strong leg. I know it sounds ridiculous, but it was actually kind of powerful for me. And I sat in the bed and I thought, wow. And God started to speak to me. And as I read these passages and I thought about this morning, I thought about us coming out of what's been, at the very least, an interesting season. How the weak need the strong. And how in our lives where we feel weak, we need the strong. We don't then need to roll over and think, well, that's the end of that. The left leg doesn't work, so I guess I'll stay in bed all day. No, the right leg begins to come in and compensate, and the strong come alongside the weak, and all of a sudden I can get out of bed, and I can move around, and I can do what I need to do. And so is it with community. I think we're coming into a new day. Not just in the sense that COVID is coming to an end. I actually feel like God's going to do something in the very near future. That in a way, things were happening in our world and in our lives and in our hearts in COVID that were preparing us for something that God wants to do. I believe we're coming into a new day. I've got a new hip. I got it on Friday. On Thursday, I got a new house. We moved into a new house. That was interesting. I sat in this chair and I watched a bunch of these people carry all my things into my house. I recommend it. It's a good way to move. No, it's actually incredibly hard to do. As a church, we're moving into some new things in the fall. And I bet you wherever you worship, if you attend, the same is true, because coming out of COVID, everyone's coming. There's new things. We're coming into a new day. It's exciting. But we have to recognize that as we go to step into what's next, it's smart for us to recognize that all around us, the people and even ourselves are feeling weak in different ways. Because the last season has kind of beat us up a bit. Currently, we're coming out of COVID, restrictions are lifting, and life is returning to normal. Whatever that means. And in some ways, we need to go through a process of recovery like I do with my hip. And in that process of recovery, our weak places need the strength of community to come in alongside. What I want to encourage you with today is not to think in this moment as much about your weakness as about your strength. Because if we all did that, all your weaknesses would be covered. Here's what I mean. You might feel like when we talk about being a strong leg, coming alongside people in their weakness, coming alongside people where they're feeling discouraged or tired, coming in alongside people where mental health isn't in great shape, coming in alongside and being strength. My question for myself and for us today is, in what ways is God asking me to be a strong leg in the community? And you might say, well, I don't know if that applies to me, because I feel like the weak leg today. Henry Nouwen, one of my heroes, uses a term that I just love. He speaks often of the wounded healer. If you wait until you are only a strong leg, you'll never get in the game. We're always walking with a limp. But read the Bible, Jesus uses people with limps in powerful ways. And so in what ways would God be inviting you in this season, as we walk through the summer and into the fall, to be strong leg to the weak? To come alongside a friend or a family member, or to step up in your church or at work. To set some things aside in a moment and really listen. Let someone be heard. Process some of their year. Like, in what ways would God be calling you or inviting you to be strong for someone else? And the invitation is this: allow yourself to be strong for someone else. I actually think that as you do that, some of your own weakness will get stronger. As you come in alongside, even some of your own deficit. But the other thing that's going to happen is, if other people around us take that to heart too, guess what? Someone's going to come in alongside your weakness. You don't have to worry about it. My other encouragement to you, though, is this. When someone comes alongside to be strength for you, let them. Man, it was hard to sit in that chair and watch people carry all my stuff into my house. but I cried when I thanked them. It was incredibly powerful and emotional for me to just come and to admit my weakness and to say, you have no idea how you blessed me today. Not only because you moved my boxes in, it was so much deeper than that. Where I'm weak, you came in alongside and were strong. If people come in alongside you in your weakness, it takes humility to let them be strength for you. To let my right leg come and help my left leg out, I have to admit my left leg can't do it. And so I want to bless you today to think about, God, where would you use me to be strength for someone else? And I want to bless you to allow others to come in alongside you when they come to be strength. That's what the body of Christ looks like. We are one body with many parts. And the foot can't say to the hand, I don't need you. Why? Because it does. It might think it doesn't, or want to pretend it doesn't. We need each other. So I just bless you today to both give and receive in this season, and through it to be strengthened, brought into life again, life in the full. And I pray that it be a lesson that doesn't just help us get through COVID, but one that helps us be the people of God in a more authentic and real way for the rest of our lives. The final thought that I'll leave with you is this. Paul says, if one member suffers, all suffer together. And those two points kind of speak to that. But he also says this. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. In an address that Adrian Dix made this past week, at the end of everything he had to say and questions he had to answer, he took a moment to stop and to honor Bonnie Henry for the work she's done over the last year and a half. Way to go, Adrian. That's what Paul is talking about. Would you also look in this next week, in this next month, throughout this summer, for the ways that you can rejoice and honor the people around you? For the ways that they have come alongside, for the ways that they have walked through the season, for the things you see in them, let's just be, as a body, a people who honor. Let's be the kinds of people, like hands who know they need feet and they love them, even though they're very different. Let's just be people of honor. And in that way, I think in a very true, in an actual supernatural way, honestly, we're all in this together. Actually together. I invite Jeff to come. And we're going to celebrate together this oneness, this togetherness around the Lord's table. In Corinthians, there's a verse that in our liturgy, we'll get to it and we'll actually say it together. But it says, we break this bread to share in the body of Christ because though we are many, we are one body because we all share in the one bread. Paul's analogy of the body only makes sense and really comes to its fullness when he explains that that body has one head, and it's Jesus. And so as we come together around the Lord's table, we really get to live into and think about those things. In what ways, God, are you inviting me to be strength in this season for others? In what ways, Lord, are you wanting to come in alongside me in my weakness? And in those ways, how can we be one body? And it all starts here as we come to Jesus. The only one who really can meet our needs. The only one who really can strengthen the weak parts of us. Who can speak to the parts of us that feel tired or disillusioned. And so Jesus, we thank you today for the gift of community. We thank you that we can be together. And that we are together in a divine way. Our hearts, our lives, they're knit. We are one body. And so as we come to your table, Lord, we pray that you would meet us here. That you would serve us. Right now, all of us, we come in our weakness and we allow the strength of Christ to come in beside us. To hold us, to sustain us, to build us up. So if you have your liturgy books with you, you can turn in those together. first thing that we'll do is we come to the table is we'll take a moment to just recognize our brokenness, to recognize our weakness specifically.